Silk rustled. Gold clinked. High society thrived on cruel hierarchies and shallow whispers. Duke Pendleton built his entire existence on these fragile, invisible rules. When he caught his sister's seamstress lingering near the ballroom doors, he laughed. A bitter, jagged sound meant to cut her down. "She is just a commoner," he sneered to his fawning peers. He did not know courtly rules meant nothing to a conqueror. He certainly never expected the emperor to drop to his knees before her. Needles do not forgive. Nora learned this lesson a decade ago, yet the sharp prick on her left index finger still drew a quiet hiss from her lips. A single bead of crimson welled against her pale, calloused skin. She pressed it hard against her thumb, waiting for the stinging to subside, desperately, careful not to let a drop stain the ivory silk pooled in her lap. Ruining Lady Diana's gown meant dismissal. Dismissal meant the freezing, cobbled streets of the capital. And Nora was entirely done with freezing. Rain lashed against the attic window. The draft in the servants' quarters was relentless, smelling of wet soot and stale cabbage. Nora rubbed her aching shoulders and picked up her shears. She was 24, though the harsh lines around her mouth made her look older. Her brown hair was pinned back in a severe practical knot, completely hiding the natural curl that defied brushing. She did not look like a woman who harbored secrets. She looked exactly like what she was paid to be invisible. Downstairs, the Pendleton estate was vibrating with a frantic, suffocating energy. The imperial ball was only hours away. Emperor Leopold, the man who had dragged three warring nations under his banner through sheer tactical brutality, was attending. He was seeking a bride, or an alliance, or perhaps just looking to remind the old nobility who held the leash. The household staff had been awake for 2 days, polishing silver until their knuckles bled and waxing floors until they gleamed like dark water. Footsteps echoed on the narrow wooden stairs, heavy-booted and deliberate. Nora did not look up from the delicate lace she was attaching to the bodice. Duke Arthur Pendleton stepped into the cramped sewing room. He was a tall man, handsome in a cold, statuesque way, with pale eyes that seemed to constantly calculate the monetary value of everyone he looked at. He wore his tailored riding coat. He hated the attic. He hated the dust, the smell of labor, and the proximity to the people who kept his life comfortable. "Is my sister's dress finished, girl?" Arthur demanded. His voice was a flat drawl devoid of any warmth. "The hem requires another hour, Your Grace." Nora replied, keeping her voice perfectly level. She did not use his title with reverence. She used it the way a carpenter uses a hammer, a necessary tool for the job. Arthur clicked his tongue in profound annoyance. "An hour. You people move with the urgency of glaciers. Do you understand who is stepping foot in my home tonight, the Emperor? A man who burns cities before breakfast." He paced the small room, his boots leaving faint tracks on the dusty floorboards. "Diana must be flawless. If she catches his eye, the Pendleton name will never answer to a provincial tax collector again."
"I am aware of the stakes, Your Grace." Nora tied off a thread and bit the end. Arthur stopped. He looked at her truly, looked at her, and his lip curled in disgust. "Don't bite the thread. You look like a street dog gnawing on a bone. Where did Mrs. Gable even find you?"
"I answered an advertisement for a skilled hand, Your Grace." "A skilled hand, weißt du bam?" he mocked, leaning against the door frame. He seemed to take a perverse pleasure in tormenting the staff when his own nerves were frayed. "You have the hands of a field worker, scars, calluses. It's a miracle you don't snag the silk every time you touch it."
Nora looked down at her hands. They were ruined. Pale, yes, but crisscrossed with faint white lines. Burn marks on her left wrist. A deep, jagged scar cutting across her right palm. These were not the injuries of a clumsy seamstress. They were the remnants of a mud-soaked medical tent of holding shattered men together while mortar fire rained down in the trench wars of the northern border. 5 years ago, Nora had not been sewing silk. She had been sewing flesh.
She offered Arthur no explanation. Explanations were a vulnerability. "I will wash my hands thoroughly
before handling the bodice again, Your Grace. Arthur snorted, clearly disappointed that he hadn't elicited tears or a stammering apology. See that you do. And when the ball begins, stay out of sight. I don't want the guests seeing the help loitering in the corridors. We are projecting absolute perfection tonight. Not... He gestured vaguely at her worn gray woolen dress. Whatever this is. I have no desire to attend the ball, Your Grace. Attend. Arthur barked a laugh. It was a loud, abrasive sound in the quiet attic. Attend, good God, girl, I didn't think you were harboring delusions of grandeur. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself in a room full of actual consequence. You'd likely faint if the Emperor merely looked in your general direction. He turned on his heel and descended the stairs, his laughter echoing down the stairwell. Nora sat perfectly still until the sound faded completely. She let out a long, slow breath. Her fingers brushed the scarred tissue on her right palm. She remembered a night filled with the smell of blood and frozen earth. She remembered a young man delirious with fever and a chest wound gripping her hand so hard he nearly broke her fingers, promising her that if he lived to wear his crown, he would tear down the world for her. She picked up her needle. She did not care about the Duke's laughter. She only cared about finishing the hem. Music drifted up through the floorboards like smoke. It was a heavy, intoxicating waltz played by a 30-piece orchestra imported specifically from the capital. The Pendleton estate was no longer a house. It was a theater of absolute excess. Nora stood in the cramped antechamber just off the main ballroom corridor. She held a small velvet pouch containing a needle silver thread and a pair of tiny scissors. Lady Diana had insisted Nora remain on standby. The ivory silk gown was notoriously tight around the ribs, and Diana, prone to theatrics, was convinced she would burst a seam if she inhaled too deeply during a dance. The heat radiating from the ballroom was intense. Thousands of beeswax candles burned in massive crystal chandeliers, casting a golden liquid light over the attendees. Nora stood in the shadows, her gray wool dress blending into the dark mahogany paneling of the corridor. Through the cracked double doors, she could see them. The lords and ladies of the empire. They moved like exotic birds dripping in rubies, emeralds, and stiffly starched cravats. It was a beautiful, terrifying machine. Everyone was smiling, but the smiles did not reach their eyes. They were calculating alliances, assessing weaknesses, and tracking the movements of their rivals. Nora watched the crowd with the detached observation of a soldier surveying a minefield. She recognized Lord Hastings, a man who had made his fortune selling defective rifles to the border infantry. She spotted the Countess of Moray, whose husband had mysteriously fallen from a balcony exactly 1 week after she secured her inheritance. These were the monsters Duke Pendleton aspired to join. Arthur was holding court near the punch bowls. He wore a velvet jacket the color of midnight, a silver sash draped across his chest, to denote a military honor he had bought rather than earned. He laughed loudly at a joke made by a neighboring baron, his eyes darting frantically toward the grand entrance. The Emperor was late. "He's doing it on purpose," a voice whispered entirely too close to Nora's ear. Nora jumped slightly, turning to see Thomas, a young footman, balancing an empty tray against his hip. He was sweating profusely beneath his stiff collar. "Doing what?" Nora asked softly, keeping her eyes on the ballroom. Making them sweat. Thomas grinned, showing a chipped front tooth. The Emperor. He knows they're all terrified of him. Better to let them wait and wonder if he's angry before he even steps through the door. Nora felt a strange tight pulling in her chest. He was never one for punctuality. Thomas looked at her sideways. You say that like you know him? I know the type. Nora corrected smoothly her face an unreadable mask. Men with power rarely check clocks. A sudden, sharp, tearing sound echoed near the entrance of the ballroom, followed by a dramatic gasp. Lady Diana had stepped backward onto the train of her own ivory gown. A 2-inch rip opened right at the seam of her hip. Panic flashed across Arthur's face. He grabbed his sister's arm, his grip bruising, and dragged her toward the antechamber where Nora stood. Fix it, Arthur hissed, shoving Diana toward Nora. Fix it now. He's arriving any minute. The vanguard just passed the outer gates. Diana was hyperventilating, her powdered face stark white. I'm ruined, Arthur. He'll see the tear. He'll think I'm careless. Shut up and let the girl work. Arthur snapped, pacing the tiny room like a caged animal. Nora dropped to her knees without a word. She pulled the velvet pouch from her pocket, threaded the needle with practiced, terrifying speed, and began to stitch. Her hands were steady. The lighting was poor, the space was cramped, and Diana was trembling violently, but Nora's fingers moved with surgical precision. She ignored the Duke's heavy breathing. She ignored the frantic racing of her own heart. "Hurry up, you useless creature," Arthur muttered, pulling out a pocket watch and staring at it. Nora tied off the thread and bit the end. "It is secure, Your Grace. The lace conceals the repair." Diana frantically smoothed the fabric, letting out a sob of relief. "Thank God. Thank God." Before Nora could rise from the floor, a profound, earth-shattering silence fell over the ballroom. The music stopped abruptly. The low hum of 100 conversations died in an instant. "He's here." Arthur breathed, his arrogance momentarily vanishing, replaced by naked ambition. He adjusted his cuffs and practically shoved Diana back into the light of the ballroom. Nora stayed on her knees for a moment, her hands resting on the cold floorboards. Her pulse thumped loudly in her ears. She slowly stood brushing the dust from her skirt and moved slightly to the left so she could see through the gap in the doors. A squad of Imperial guards marched in first. They wore pitch-black uniforms entirely devoid of the decorative fluff the local nobility favored. They carried live steel. They formed two lines, creating a harsh, unforgiving aisle through the center of the glittering crowd. Then he walked in. Emperor Leopold. He was taller than Nora remembered, broader across the shoulders. He wore a dark military tunic, unadorned, except for a single silver star at his throat. His face was a landscape of harsh angles and cold authority. He had a scar cutting through his left eyebrow, a scar she had stitched in the dark with freezing, numb fingers. His eyes, dark and flinty, swept the room. It was not the look of a man seeking a bride. It was the look of a wolf entering a pen of extremely fat, very nervous sheep. Arthur stepped forward, bowing so deeply he nearly scraped his nose on the marble floor. Diana curtsied, her repaired gown settling perfectly around her. "Your Imperial Majesty." Arthur's voice boomed, projecting confidence he clearly did not feel. "The House of Pendleton is profoundly honored." Leopold did not look at Arthur. He did not look at Diana. He was staring past them. He was staring directly at the crack in the antechamber doors. Arthur noticed the direction of the Emperor's gaze. He turned his head, his face flushing crimson when he realized Nora was still visible in the shadows. He forced a strained, apologetic laugh, attempting to draw Leopold's attention back. "Forgive the intrusion of the staff, Your Majesty." Arthur sneered, his voice dripping with condescension. "She is just a commoner, a seamstress who lost her way. I will have her removed immediately." Leopold finally looked at Arthur. His expression was so intensely dangerous that the Duke physically took a step back. Then the Emperor of the Continent stepped past the Duke, ignoring him entirely, and walked straight toward the shadows. Boots struck marble. The sound was measured, heavy, and entirely out of place in a room designed for waltzing. Emperor Leopold did not walk like a guest inspecting his hosts. He walked like an infantry commander crossing a contested front line. The lords and ladies of the empire fell back, pressing themselves against the silk-lined walls, their earlier posturing evaporating into genuine, suffocating terror. Duke Arthur Pendleton stood paralyzed. His carefully rehearsed smile hung on his face like a grotesque mask. He watched the Emperor bypass the receiving line, bypass Lady Diana's flawlessly repaired gown, and march directly toward the unlit antechamber. "Your Majesty." Arthur choked out, his voice cracking. He lunged forward, a desperate instinct to control the situation overriding his fear. "That room is not meant for guests. It is dusty. The girl is simply a wall of black fabric and steel materialized in front of him. Two Imperial guards crossed their halberds inches from Arthur's chest. They did not speak. They did not have to. The sharp metallic clack of the crossing blades made Arthur freeze, the blood draining completely from his face. Leopold reached the heavy oak doors of the antechamber. He pushed them open. The hinges groaned a harsh complaint in the dead silence of the ballroom. Golden light spilled into the cramped room, cutting across the dusty floorboards and illuminating Nora. She stood exactly where she had been, her worn gray dress absorbing the light rather than reflecting it. She did not bow. She did not curtsy. She stood with her shoulders squared, her chin level, her scarred hands resting loosely at her sides. For 10 agonizing seconds, nobody breathed. The entire aristocracy watched the apex predator of their world stare down a servant. They expected a summary execution. They expected the emperor to drag her out by her hair for the perceived insult of her mere presence. Leopold stared at her. The harsh angles of his face softened millisecond by millisecond. The cold, flinty deadness in his eyes, the look of a man who had ordered thousands to their deaths, melted into something utterly raw. His chest rose and fell in a ragged, uneven breath. "You changed your name," Leopold said. His voice was not the booming roar of a conqueror. It was a gravelly, quiet rasp. "Nora is my middle name," she replied smoothly. It drew less attention. "You cut your hair." It kept catching in the bandages. Mud and blood are difficult to wash out of curls. The casual mention of blood sent a physical shudder through the lords standing nearest to the door. They lived in a world where war was a concept negotiated over brandy and cigars. They did not speak of it openly. They certainly did not speak of it with the emperor. Leopold took a step closer, completely crossing the threshold into the dusty antechamber. "I looked for you. For 5 years I turned the northern provinces inside out. I burned 3 rebel strongholds to the ground because I thought they had taken you." "I was not taken," Nora said softly. "I left. The war ended. My contract was fulfilled." "But we..." "You left in the middle of the night." Leopold countered a flash of old, desperate anger breaking through his calm. "You left while I was still bedridden with a bullet in my ribs. You left a note written on the back of a rationing card. You were recovering, you had your generals, you had your crown waiting. You did not need a field nurse." "I did not need a nurse," Leopold whispered. He stepped so close to her that the gold braiding on his uniform brushed the coarse wool of her dress. "I needed you." Arthur Pendleton, watching from behind the crossed halberds of the guards, felt his mind violently reject what he was hearing. This was impossible. This was a hallucination brought on by stress. The emperor of the continent was speaking to his sister seamstress like a starving man begging for bread. "Your Majesty," Arthur blurted out, unable to contain his panic. "She is a servant. She earns 4 coppers a week. She is a commoner." Leopold slowly turned his head. The raw vulnerability vanished, replaced instantly by a glacial homicidal fury. He looked at Arthur not as a duke, but as an insect that had just crawled across his boot. "A commoner," Leopold repeated, tasting the word like poison. He looked back at Nora. He looked at her coarse dress, her pinned back hair, and the exhaustion etched deep into the corners of her eyes. Then Leopold moved. He did not grab her. He did not pull her into the ballroom to show her off. Instead, he unbuttoned his heavy dark military tunic, slipping it off his broad shoulders. He draped the thick, warm fabric over Nora's shivering frame. The coat swallowed her smelling of leather rain and him. And then, in front of the Duke, in front of Lady Diana, in front of 300 of the wealthiest, most powerful people in the world, Emperor Leopold dropped to one knee. His pristine black trousers hit the dusty floorboards with a dull thud. He reached out and took Nora's right hand. He did not kiss the back of it, as was the custom. He turned her hand over, exposing the ugly, jagged scar running across her palm. He pressed his lips directly to the ruined flesh. "I told you," Leopold murmured, his breath warm against her skin, his voice carrying perfectly through the dead silence of the room. "If I live to wear the crown, I would tear down the world for you. I am here to fulfill my vow."
Gasps rippled through the ballroom, a collective intake of breath from 300 aristocrats. A few ladies raised feathered fans to their mouths in genuine shock. Lord Hastings dropped a crystal goblet. It shattered against the marble floor, the sharp sound ringing out like a gunshot, but nobody broke their gaze from the antechamber. The Emperor of the Continent was kneeling in the dust. Nora looked down at the dark hair of the man kneeling before her. She felt the warmth of his mouth against her deepest scar. For 5 years, she had buried the memory of the northern trenches. She had forced herself to forget the smell of sulfur, the deafening roar of artillery, and the heavy, desperate weight of this man leaning against her as she dragged him out of a collapsed command bunker. She had chosen a life of quiet invisibility, trading the trauma of survival for the numbness of poverty. Now the past was kneeling on her floor, kissing her hand. "Get up, Leo," Nora whispered. It was a command, not a request. She used the name he had given her when his lungs were filling with blood, when titles meant absolutely nothing. Leopold lifted his head. His dark eyes locked onto hers. He did not move to stand. "Command me and I will." "I am commanding you. You are making a spectacle." "I am making a point," Leopold corrected. He slowly rose to his feet, towering over her once more. He kept a firm, gentle grip on her scarred hand, refusing to let her pull away. He turned to face the ballroom, dragging Nora slightly out of the shadows and into the harsh golden light of the chandeliers. Arthur Pendleton looked like he was going to vomit. His pristine, highly calculated world had just been violently inverted. The guards lowered their halberds, stepping back to flank the Emperor, leaving Arthur completely exposed. "Duke Pendleton!" Leopold's voice resonated through the room. It was flat, carrying the cold authority of a military tribunal. Arthur flinched. He stumbled forward, bowing frantically. "Majesty, please, I did not know. The girl never spoke of... You called her a commoner." Leopold interrupted. He wasn't yelling. The quietness of his voice made it infinitely more terrifying. "You laughed. I heard it from the corridor." "A misunderstanding, Your Majesty. A terrible, wretched misunderstanding." Arthur babbled, his eyes darting frantically toward Nora, begging her with a pathetic, wide-eyed stare to say something. "She was hired through an agency. She is merely my sister's seamstress." Leopold's jaw tightened. "Her name is Eleonora Vance, former chief surgical officer of the 4th Northern Infantry. During the siege of Ethelgard, when the aristocracy refused to send reinforcements, she ran an underground triage for 42 days without sleep. She pulled shrapnel from my chest with a pair of rusted forceps while mortar fire leveled the building around us." The ballroom was entirely silent. The name Eleonora Vance was a ghost story among the military class, a mythical figure who had kept the front line from collapsing during the darkest winter of the war. To the powdered, perfumed lords and ladies, the war was a distant inconvenience. To hear that the architect of their current safety was living in an attic, mending their dresses, was a profound, deeply uncomfortable shock. Leopold took a step toward Arthur. The Duke instinctively took a step back, nearly tripping over the hem of Lady Diana's gown. "You trust her to hem silk, Pendleton, but you are entirely unworthy to breathe the same air she exhales," Leopold stated, his voice dropping to a lethal murmur. "She is not a servant in your house. She is the only reason you have a house left to stand in." Arthur swallowed hard. Sweat beaded on his forehead, ruining his powdered complexion. "I will compensate her, Your Majesty, doubly, triply. I will provide an estate." "You will provide nothing," Nora spoke up. Her voice was calm, cutting through the Duke's pathetic stammering. She did not raise her voice, but the entire room hung on her every word. She looked at Arthur with absolute indifference. Not anger, not triumph, just cold, clinical indifference. "I do not want your money, Your Grace. I earned my wages, 4 coppers a week.
You owe me exactly 2 coppers for the last 3 days of work. Pay it, and my contract is concluded. Arthur stared at her, utterly baffled. He looked at the Emperor, expecting him to order an execution. Instead, Leopold reached into his own pocket, pulled out 2 copper coins, and tossed them at Arthur's feet. They clattered loudly against the marble. "Her contract is concluded," Leopold echoed.
He turned back to Nora. The fury evaporated. He reached up, gently adjusting the collar of his heavy military coat around her neck. "I have a carriage waiting in the courtyard. The heat in this room is entirely insufferable." Nora looked at the exit. She looked at the terrified faces of the nobility. She had spent 5 years running from the chaos of power, only to find that power had hunted her down and laid itself at her feet. She was tired of running. She was tired of freezing in attics.
"I have a trunk upstairs," Nora said quietly. "It has my medical journals. I will not leave them." "I will send a detachment of guards to retrieve it," Leopold promised. He offered her his arm. "Let us leave this place, Nora."
She did not take his arm. Instead, she slipped her scarred hand into his. His fingers curled around hers, tight and secure. Together, they walked down the center aisle of the ballroom. The lords and ladies parted like water, pressing themselves against the walls, bowing their heads deeply, not just to the Emperor, but to the woman beside him. They walked out the grand doors, leaving Duke Pendleton staring blankly at 2 copper coins on the floor, his entire life's ambition reduced to ash in a matter of minutes. Rain battered the roof of the imperial carriage like a barrage of tiny distant bullets. It was a heavy rhythmic sound that instantly dragged Nora back to the canvas tents of the northern front. Inside the carriage, however, there was no mud. There was only the overwhelming scent of rich leather-polished oak and the faint metallic tang of the storm clinging to Leopold's hair. He sat across from her. He had not let go of her hand since they left the ballroom. The interior of the cabin was dimly lit by a single brass lantern swinging gently from the roof, casting long, shifting shadows across his face. He looked older than he had 5 years ago. The harsh lines around his mouth were deeply carved by the sheer weight of ruling a continent that constantly wanted to tear itself apart.
Nora carefully pulled her hand from his grasp. She did not do it abruptly, but the withdrawal was deliberate. She pulled his heavy military coat tighter around her shoulders, sinking into the plush velvet seat.
"You made a target of me tonight," Nora stated flatly. She stared at the rain streaking the glass window, watching the blurred gas-lit streets of the capital roll past. "By tomorrow morning, every spy assassin and social-climbing aristocrat in this city will know my face. They will know I am your weakness."
Leopold leaned back, resting his head against the wood paneling. He looked entirely exhausted, yet deeply fundamentally at peace.
"They already knew I had a weakness. They just didn't know her name. Now they know she is untouchable.
If Pendleton so much as sneezes in your direction, I will have his estate dismantled brick by brick and throw the rubble into the sea." A perfectly measured and rational response from a reigning monarch. Nora muttered a dry, cynical edge bleeding into her voice.
Leopold let out a low, rough chuckle. It was a sound that belonged to a trench, not a throne room. "I am not rational when it comes to you. I never have been. You know this." Nora finally turned to look at him. "Why did you do it, Leo?"
"The kneeling. The spectacle. You are the Emperor. You do not bow to seamstresses. You have spent 3 years executing dissidents to cement your absolute authority, and tonight you threw it away in front of the very people plotting to usurp you."
"I did not throw it away."
He leaned forward, bracing his elbows on his knees, closing the distance between them. "I showed them exactly what I value. They worship gold titles and bloodlines. I showed them that their entire world means less to me than the dust on your shoes. I needed them to see it. And more importantly, I needed you to see it."
He reached out his large calloused fingers, gently brushing the frayed cuff of her cheap wool dress. He looked at the rough fabric with a quiet, simmering anger. Not at her, but at the circumstances that had forced her into it.
5 years, he whispered, his voice cracking slightly. "I spent 5 years wondering if you were dead in a ditch, wondering if the cold had taken you, and you were here, hemming silk for people who aren't fit to wash your bandages.
I survived, Nora said simply. She did not want his pity. She refused to bear it. I found work. I kept my head down. It was quiet. No artillery shells, no amputations in the dark, no burying boys who were too young to shave. It was boring, Leo. And after Ethelgard, boring was exactly what I wanted.
You ran from me.
I ran from the crown, she corrected sharply. I saved a soldier. I loved a soldier. But the man who woke up from that fever wasn't just a soldier anymore. You were a king. You had a continent to conquer. I am a surgeon, Leopold. I fix broken things. I do not stand beside men while they break the world. The carriage jolted as it crossed a set of iron tram tracks. The lantern swung wildly, illuminating the sudden raw pain in Leopold's dark eyes. He did not deny her accusation. He could not. The blood on his hands was a historical fact, not a metaphor. I broke the world so I could remake it into something that wouldn't kill us. Leopold said, his voice dropping to a harsh rasp. The warlords were slaughtering civilians by the thousands. I ended it. I ended it with fire, yes, but I ended it. There has been peace for 2 years. A peace held together by fear. A peace held together by steel, he countered. And I would do it again. He reached across the small space, taking her hand once more. This time, he pressed it flat against his chest, right over his heart. Beneath the layers of his uniform, Nora could feel the heavy, jagged ridge of the scar tissue she had sewn together. I survived because of you. My heart beats because your hands refuse to let it stop. You do not get to walk away from the life you saved. The carriage slowed, the iron-rimmed wheels grinding against the heavy cobblestones of the imperial courtyard. The massive iron gates of the palace loomed ahead, guarded by a dozen men in pitch-black armor. Nora felt the steady, powerful thud of his heart beneath her palm. A tight knot of adrenaline uncoiled in her chest, replaced by a heavy, terrifying realization. The quiet, boring life of a seamstress was dead. The attic was gone. I don't know how to be an empress. She whispered the confession slipping out before she could stop it. Leopold smiled. It was a small, dangerous, and fiercely possessive thing. Good, because I have absolutely no desire for an empress. I need my surgeon back.
Marble corridors stretched for miles, lined with towering suits of antique armor that watched them like hollow iron ghosts. The Imperial Palace was not a home. It was a fortress wrapped in velvet. It smelled of beeswax, dried lavender, and old cold stone.
Nora walked beside Leopold. She refused to let him carry her despite the visible exhaustion dragging at her limbs. Her gray woolen dress trailed slightly on the immaculate floors, leaving faint damp smudges from the rainy courtyard. A small army of servants trailed 10 paces behind them, entirely silent, their eyes wide with poorly concealed shock. The Emperor had left the ball abruptly and returned with a commoner wrapped in his coat. In the rigid ecosystem of the palace,
this was an earthquake. Leopold bypassed the grand guest wings entirely. He led her deeper into the private heart of the fortress, stopping before a set of heavy mahogany doors flanked by his elite personal guard. The men snapped to attention, their halberds ringing sharply against the floor. He pushed the doors open, revealing a suite of rooms that dwarfed Duke Pendleton's entire estate. A massive fire roared in a stone hearth, casting a warm golden glow over the dark Persian rugs and the sprawling canopy bed. "Draw a bath," Leopold ordered over his shoulder to the hovering head housekeeper. "Bring hot food, broth, roasted fowl, fresh bread, and fetch the court physician." "Cancel the physician," Nora interjected immediately. She stepped into the center of the room, shrugging his heavy military coat off her shoulders. She draped it over a nearby armchair. "I do not need a doctor. I need sleep."
The housekeeper froze, looking frantically between the Emperor and the woman in the rags. Nobody countermanded the Emperor. Leopold waved a hand dismissively. "Do as she says. Cancel the physician. Bring the food and leave us."
The servants scrambled to obey, pulling the heavy doors shut behind them. The sudden quiet of the room was heavy. Nora walked toward the fireplace, holding her cold, calloused hands out to the flames. The heat seeped into her bones, making her shiver violently as the chill finally left her body. Leopold watched her from the center of the room. He slowly unbuckled his sword belt, letting the heavy weapon clatter onto a nearby table. He unbuttoned the high collar of his tunic, stripping away the rigid formality of his office. Here in the quiet, he was just Leo. "You look entirely out of place here," he observed, softly walking toward the fire to stand beside her. "I am a seamstress standing in the Emperor's bedchamber. I imagine I do." Nora did not look at him. She watched the embers pop and spit. "Tomorrow your council will demand an explanation. They will tell you that taking a commoner as a mistress undermines your authority. You are not a mistress." "I am certainly not a wife," Nora countered, turning her head to look at him. "I have no dowry. I have no land. I have a box of medical journals and a pair of shears."
Leopold reached out, tracing the line of her jaw with his thumb. His touch was incredibly gentle, a stark contrast to the violence he was capable of. "My council can choke on their ledgers. I did not conquer this continent to ask permission for who I bring into my own home. You will stay here," as what Leo Apet a political statement. Nora stepped back, putting a foot of distance between them. The exhaustion was making her raw, stripping away the careful stoic mask she had worn for years. "I spent 5 years hiding because I refused to be a pawn. I won't be a gilded bird in your cage. If I stay, I will lose my mind." Leopold did not argue. He simply watched her, his dark eyes absorbing her frustration. He walked over to a crystal decanter resting on a side table, pouring 2 heavy glasses of amber liquid. He walked back, pressing one into her hand. "Drink," he ordered quietly. Nora took a sip. It was harsh, burning down her throat, but it steadied the slight tremor in her hands. "During the siege," Leopold began his voice low, "when the supply lines were cut and we were eating boiled leather to survive, you did not sit in the dark and cry. You organized the walking wounded. You taught soldiers how to pack wounds with snow to slow the bleeding. You commanded that camp, Nora, not me." He took a slow drink from his own glass, his eyes never leaving hers. "This palace is just another camp. It is filled with vipers, sycophants, and cowards who would sell this empire for a handful of silver. I am surrounded by people who agree with everything I say because they are terrified of me. I do not need a wife to smile at banquets. I need the woman who looked a warlord in the eye and told him to wait his turn while she amputated a farmer's leg." Nora stared at the amber liquid in her glass. The memory of the blood, the cold, and the desperate, frantic will to keep people alive flared in her mind. She had missed it. God help her, she had missed the purpose of it. Hemming silk had kept her alive, but it had slowly killed her soul. "There is an entire wing of this palace dedicated to the military hospital." Leopold continued, stepping closer again. "It is a bureaucratic nightmare. The mortality rate is abhorrent. The surgeons are aristocrats who bought their degrees and faint at the sight of gangrene." He reached out, taking the glass from her hand and setting it on the mantle. He took both of her scarred, ruined hands in his. "Hot, take it over," Leopold said. "It wasn't a request. It was a challenge. Tear it down. Rebuild it. Fire the incompetent fools and train people who actually know how to save lives. Be my chief medical officer. Be my advisor. Be the conscience I left behind in the mud at Ethelgard." Nora looked up at him. The sheer scale of what he was offering settled heavily on her shoulders. He wasn't offering her a crown. He was offering her a war. He was offering her work. A slow, genuine smile finally cracked through her exhaustion. It transformed her face, stripping away the years of forced apathy. "If I take over the hospital," Nora warned, her voice gaining a sharp, authoritative edge, "I will fire half your staff by noon tomorrow. I will demand a budget that will make your finance minister weep, and I will not tolerate interference from your council."
Leopold smiled back. The tension drained from his shoulders, leaving a profound, fierce relief. He pulled her against his chest, burying his face in her hair. "Burn it all down, Nora," he whispered against her ear. "I will hand you the matches." Morning broke over the capital with the gray, unrelenting chill of early winter. Nora did not sleep. She had spent the hours before dawn pacing the massive suite, mentally inventorying the medical supplies she would need. When the sun finally crested the palace walls, she was dressed. Leopold had sent a seamstress in the middle of the night, a bitter irony that did not escape her. But the woman had not brought silk. She had brought a dark navy tunic tailored close to the body, devoid of lace, ribbon, or absurd crinolines. It was the uniform of an imperial officer modified for a woman's frame. It felt like armor. She walked the corridors alone. The guards at Leopold's door had snapped to attention and provided directions to the east wing. The Imperial Hospital occupied an entire floor of the eastern annex. As Nora pushed through the heavy brass-handled doors, she immediately stopped. The ward was pristine. Sunlight streamed through tall, immaculate windows, reflecting off highly polished marble floors. White linen sheets were pulled tight across 50 iron cots. It was perfectly quiet. Nora's stomach twisted. A quiet hospital was a morgue. She walked down the central aisle. The air smelled of bleached cotton and dried lavender, a perfumed mask meant to hide the underlying rot of infection. In the third bed on the right, a young infantryman lay perfectly still. His skin was the color of old wax. A massive, heavily bandaged stump occupied the space where his left leg should have been. The bandages were clean on the outside, but Nora could smell the sweet, sickening odor of gangrene seeping through the layers. At the far end of the ward, behind a glass partition, sat four men in powdered wigs and spotless white coats. They were drinking tea from porcelain cups. They were laughing. Nora pushed the glass door open. It slammed against the wall, the sharp crack echoing through the silent ward. The four doctors jumped. The eldest, a plump man with a ruddy complexion and a pocket watch chain resting on a very comfortable stomach, frowned deeply. "See here," he barked, setting his teacup down with a clatter. "This is a restricted area. Who let a woman into the surgical annex?" "Are you the chief physician?" Nora asked. She did not introduce herself. She walked directly to the mahogany table, placing her hands flat on the polished wood. "I am Dr. Chadwick," he replied, puffing out his chest. "And you are trespassing. Orderly, remove this."
"The boy in bed 3 is dying of a necrotic infection," Nora interrupted, her voice snapping like a whip. "His bandages haven't been changed in at least 2 days. The man in bed 12 is suffocating on fluid in his lungs, and you have him lying flat on his back instead of elevated. You are running a cemetery, Dr. Chadwick, not a hospital."
Chadwick's face flushed a deep, violent purple. "How dare you? I studied at the Royal Academy. I have tended to the wounds of generals. You will leave this ward immediately, or I will have you thrown in the irons." Nora reached into the pocket of her navy tunic. She pulled out a heavy cylinder of black wax, stamped deeply with the imperial seal of the double-headed eagle. She dropped it onto the table. It landed with a dull, heavy thud right next to Chadwick's teacup. "I am Eleonora," Nora said coldly. "By direct decree of Emperor Leopold, I am the new chief medical officer of the Imperial Vanguard. You are currently drinking tea on my ward." The silence in the office was absolute. The three younger doctors stared at the seal as if it were a live grenade. Chadwick's mouth opened and closed silently, his bluster evaporating into genuine panicked confusion. That is impossible," Chadwick stammered, pulling a handkerchief from his pocket and dabbing his suddenly sweating forehead. "The Emperor would never appoint a woman, a commoner. The Medical Council must approve."
"I, Ryan." "The Emperor burned the Medical Council's charter at 3 a.m. Nora lied smoothly, though she knew Leopold likely would if she asked. "Now, put down your cup, Dr. Chadwick. We are opening the boy's stump in bed 3. If the necrosis has spread to his femoral artery, I will need you to clamp it while I reamputate." Chadwick recoiled physically, pressing himself against the back of his chair. "Reamputate here outside of the sterile theater. The blood.
It will ruin the floors. Nora stared at him. It was the stare of a woman who had sawed through bone in a mud-filled trench while artillery rained fire on her head. She looked at this soft, perfumed man, and she felt nothing but profound Arctic disgust. "You care about the floors," she whispered, leaning closer. "A boy who took a bullet to secure your comfortable salary is rotting to death, and you care about the marble." She stood up straight. "You are dismissed, Dr. Chadwick."
"Dismissed?" He choked, half rising from his chair. "You cannot dismiss me. I have tenure. I have the ear of Chancellor Godfrey. You have exactly 2 minutes to vacate this hospital before I have the Imperial Guard drag you out by your powdered hair." Nora said, her voice dead entirely of emotion. She turned to the three younger doctors who were completely frozen in terror. "You three, boil water, bring me carbolic acid, a bone saw, and 50 yards of unbleached linen. Move." They scrambled. Teacups shattered on the floor as they practically climbed over each other to reach the surgical prep room. Nora did not watch them go. She turned on her heel, striding back out onto the ward. She stripped off her tailored navy jacket, tossing it onto an empty chair, revealing a simple white linen shirt beneath. She rolled her sleeves up past her elbows, exposing the burn scars on her wrists. The quiet, invisible seamstress was dead. The surgeon had returned to the front. Cigars smoked heavily in the Grand Council chamber. 10 men sat around a massive table carved from a single slab of black ironwood. They wore velvet silk and gold chains of office. They were the architects of the Empire's bureaucracy, and they were furious. At the head of the table sat Emperor Leopold. He wore a simple black uniform devoid of medals. He was not smoking. He was tracing the edge of a silver coin on the wood, listening to the cacophony of outrage echoing off the high vaulted ceilings. "It is an insult to the entire peerage, Your Majesty," Chancellor Godfrey declared. He was a tall, gaunt man whose face seemed permanently locked in a sneer of disapproval. "Duke Pendleton is threatening to withhold his grain shipments from the southern provinces. His sister was humiliated. The nobility relies on stability on tradition. Plucking a seamstress from an attic and installing her in the royal wing..." "She is not a seamstress," Leopold interrupted quietly. He did not look up from the coin. Godfrey waved a dismissive hand. "Whatever she claims to be, the rumors are tearing through the capital. They say she has bewitched you. They say she is a northern spy. And now this morning we receive word that she has physically expelled Dr. Chadwick from the hospital. The man is a decorated academic. Dr. Chadwick's mortality rate for lower limb amputations was 74%. Leopold stated, finally looking up. His dark eyes locked onto Godfrey. "He let soldiers die because he refused to soil his hands with blood. I should have hanged him 3 years ago. Be that as it may." Lord Harrington, the Minister of War, chimed in, nervously adjusting his starched cravat. "Putting a woman in charge of the military hospital, the men will not respect her. The generals are already sending letters of protest. It breaks the chain of command." "The chain of command begins and ends with me," Leopold said. His voice was not loud, but it carried a lethal, freezing weight that silenced the room instantly. He leaned forward, resting his forearms on the table. "You gentlemen seem to have forgotten how you acquired your comfortable seats. You bought them with the blood of the infantry, the same infantry that Eleonora kept alive when the rest of you were hiding in your cellars drafting terms of surrender." Godfrey bristled, his gaunt cheeks flushing red. "We were securing the future of the Empire." "You were saving your own necks," Leopold corrected flatly. "Nora saved mine. I have given her the hospital. She will have whatever she requires to run it. If Duke Pendleton withholds his grain, I will send the vanguard to take it from his silos, and I will leave his estate burning. Tell him that." The council members exchanged terrified sideways glances. They had grown accustomed to the quiet, calculating Leopold of the past 2 years. They had forgotten the warlord who had slaughtered his way to the throne. Before Godfrey could formulate a response, the heavy double doors of the council chamber burst open.
The two Imperial guards stationed outside stumbled forward, completely failing to stop the woman pushing past them. Nora walked into the room. She was not wearing the pristine navy tunic. She was wearing her white linen shirt and a canvas butcher's apron. The apron was saturated with fresh, bright red blood. It coated her forearms up to the elbows. A streak of crimson was smeared across her cheekbone where she had wiped her face. She carried a heavy leather satchel. She did not look at the 10 horrified lords. She walked directly to the head of the table, stopping beside Leopold's chair. Lord Harrington let out a strangled gasp, pressing a scented handkerchief over his nose. Godfrey looked as though he might faint. "I need your seal," Nora said. She was breathing heavily, her chest rising and falling with exhaustion, but her eyes were electric, burning with adrenaline. Leopold looked up at her. He did not flinch at the blood. He looked at the stark, fierce life radiating from her face, and an undeniable, overwhelming pride swelled in his chest. "What do you need, Nora?" "I re-amputated the boy in bed 3. He survived the shock, but I need ice to bring down his fever. The palace kitchens refuse to give me their supply because they are saving it for a banquet tonight. I also need 40 new iron cots, a dozen barrels of carbolic acid, and I am commandeering the South Barracks for an isolation ward." The quartermaster laughed at me. She slammed a requisition paper onto the table, directly over Leopold's silver coin. The paper was lightly stained with bloody fingerprints. Godfrey sputtered, standing up so fast his chair scraped violently against the floor. "You cannot commandeer the South Barracks. That is reserved for the ceremonial cavalry, and you cannot burst into a closed council meeting covered in gore." Nora finally turned her head to look at the Chancellor. She looked at him the way a wolf looks at a particularly loud, very stupid sheep. "My patient's fever is at 104 degrees. Nora said, her voice dropping to a dangerous, gravelly murmur. "If I do not get ice in the next 20 minutes, his brain will cook inside his skull. So unless you want to come down to the ward and explain to a dying boy why a banquet is more important than his life, you will sit down and shut your mouth." Godfrey froze. Nobody spoke to him that way. Nobody. He looked to the Emperor, expecting him to order the guards to seize her. Leopold did not call the guards. He reached into his pocket, pulled out the heavy Imperial seal, and pressed it directly into the wet ink on her requisition paper. He handed the paper back to her. "Take the ice," Leopold said smoothly. "If the quartermaster argues, tell him I will personally have him transferred to the Northern Border Watch. The barracks are yours." Nora took the paper. She did not say thank you. She didn't need to. She turned on her heel and marched back out of the chamber, leaving a trail of damp, bloody footprints on the immaculate ironwood floor. The heavy doors swung shut behind her. Leopold turned back to his council. He picked up his silver coin, sliding it between his fingers. He looked at the 10 pale, horrified men. "Any further objections to the new chief medical officer?" Leopold asked. The council chamber remained absolutely terrifyingly silent. Blood dried to a dull rust on the canvas apron by midnight. The frantic chaos of the afternoon had bled away, replaced by the steady breathing of 50 sleeping men. The ward was dark save for a single gas lamp and glowing hearth embers. Nora sat on a wooden stool beside bed 3, holding a damp rag against the infantryman's forehead. His skin was pale, but the waxy sheen of impending death had vanished. The fever had broken. He was breathing deeply. She had sawed through infected femur-cauterized vessels with iron and packed the wound. He would wake up with one leg, but he would wake up. Heavy measured footsteps approached. Leopold stepped into the dim light. He had discarded his formal tunic, wearing a simple white shirt with rolled sleeves. Carrying a battered tin tray with 2 chipped mugs and dark bread, he looked like the exhausted commander she had dragged from the mud 5 years prior. He handed her a mug filled with bitter, scalding coffee. "He is stable," Nora whispered, the warmth seeping into her aching fingers. "The necrosis didn't reach the artery." Leopold looked down at her. Her hair had escaped its knot, falling in damp curls. She smelled of copper and antiseptic. To the council, she was a feral creature. To Leopold, she was the only real thing in a palace built of lies.
"You did it," Leopold said quietly.
"Half the medical staff resigned at sunset. The rest are scrubbing floors with lye because they are too terrified of you to stop. Good."
Nora sipped her coffee.
"I can teach a willing idiot to set bones. I cannot teach an arrogant coward to care. We are better off." Heavy boots suddenly shattered the quiet. Two Imperial guards dragged a fighting, sputtering man through the double doors. It was Duke Arthur Pendleton. His velvet coat was soaked with rain, his cravat undone, his hair plastered to his pale forehead.
"Unhand me. I am a peer. I demand an audience," Arthur shrieked. Patience stirred, groaning. Nora set her mug down with a sharp clack.
Leopold leaned against an empty cot, watching with detached interest as guards threw Arthur to his knees under the gas lamp.
"Majesty!" Arthur gasped, scrambling forward. "Your vanguard breached my gates. They seized my granaries. This is tyranny over a slight against a seamstress."
"I told you exactly what would happen if you threatened my supply lines," Leopold replied with profound, unyielding exhaustion. Arthur's frantic eyes landed on Nora. The realization slammed into him with physical force. The commoner he had mocked was sitting in the royal wing, holding court over life and death.
"You..."
Arthur choked, his arrogance stripped away, leaving pathetic desperation.
"Tell him to call off the guard. I paid your wages. I kept you off the streets."
Nora looked at him with clinical detachment.
"You are being loud, Duke Pendleton," she murmured flatly. "You are elevating the heart rates of men trying to heal. Lower your voice."
Arthur gaped like a suffocating fish.
"My estate is being dismantled. My fortune is gone."
"Your fortune was built by overcharging the quartermaster for rotting grain while these men starved," Nora replied, wiping dried blood from her arms. She looked at Leopold. "I need a secondary location. The barracks are fine for isolation, but amputees need a quiet place to convalesce. Somewhere outside the city, smog with large gardens." Leopold smiled darkly. "I believe the Pendleton estate has extensive gardens, and it is vacant as its former owner is guilty of treason and extortion." Arthur let out a sobbing gasp, collapsing onto his hands.
"No. My ancestral home. You cannot turn it into a hospital for cripples."
"Take him to the dungeons," Leopold ordered the guards. "Put him far away. I do not want to hear him cry." The guards hauled the weeping Duke away. The brass doors sealed the silence back into the ward.
Nora tossed the damp rag aside. The Empire was brutal. Society was a venomous pit, and the battlefield a meat grinder. She had tried to hide only to realize the only way to survive was to hold the leash of the biggest monster in the room. Leopold stepped close, wrapping his arms around her waist, pulling her back against his solid chest. He rested his chin on her head, smelling of rain and iron.
"The Pendleton estate will make an excellent recovery ward," Leopold murmured into her hair. "Though we must burn the drapes. They are profoundly ugly." Nora let out a quiet, exhausted laugh, leaning back into his warmth and resting her scarred hands over his. She was no longer hiding. She had an empire to fix, and she finally had the power to wield the scalpel.
"We start tearing out the ballroom tomorrow morning," Nora said.
"Whatever you wish my chief medical officer won," the Emperor replied softly.
"Did you enjoy this journey from the shadows of a dusty attic to the summit of an empire? True power isn't found in silk gowns, petty ballroom gossip, or bloodlines. It is forged in the trenches and proven in the quiet, unyielding moments of survival." If Nora and Leopold's gritty, grounded romance kept you captivated to the very last word, please hit that like button and subscribe to the channel.
Share this video with fellow historical drama lovers who prefer their protagonists armed with sharp intellect and absolute resolve. Drop a comment below letting us know your favorite scene. See you in the next epic tale.